group of bylaws groundlings, people who've been working in the field on the bylaws. Here we go. Hard Work with Mike Fader, the inverted version, Time Hard with Janet Coleman and
David Dozer,
displaced playwright. And Mike Fader will be back on September the 1st. You can visit him in the meantime on MikeFader.com online. And he'll have, you can sign up for his email, see back archives, etc., and leave messages and notes for Mr. Fader. Today, we are devoting this hour to the bylaws. As you know, the Interim Pacifica National Board has directed all stations to devote at least 2 hours a week to discussion of the bylaws that are being constructed or reconstructed by the five sister stations that form the Pacifica Network. I'm joined here. Last Friday, Matthew Finch provided us with a sort of national picture of what's going on with the national bylaws. Leslie Kagan, the chairman of the Interim National Board, and Ray LaForest, who's the chair of the New York Bylaws Committee and also a member of the National Board, gave us kind of a rundown of what the national picture is, and we thought today we would zoom in on what is going on at the Bylaws Committee at WBAI among the various factions and I'll call them constituencies, but I hope it doesn't confuse us with what is known as the constituency model. And joining us today are three people who have been working away at these bylaws, and we attended a meeting. I must say it was like going, David, wasn't it like being at the Constitutional Convention?
Yes, it was, in Philadelphia some 200 years ago.
It was very exciting.
Except for the powdered wigs. It was just like
they were not.
No.
The opposite. And then we heard this was a much less contentious meeting than before. The people were attending to the Carol Spooner version of the bylaws, and we'll talk about what that means in a minute. And the three people who are assembled here have not been on the air so far, except for one of them, who Mike Beasley did hold forth a few days ago. And Andy Norris, who is on our local advisory board, a member of it. Hello, Andy.
Hello, Janet. Thank you for inviting me.
Yes, you've not been heard from publicly yet. And Marcia Newfield, who is a member of the Bylaws Committee and also the GM Search Committee, and who has been quite a regular attendee of all of the meetings. And I think we'll, all of them have something to say, because I think it's really a laborious and remarkable process that has, that will have tremendous consequences, and we want to find out what those are. Now, at about the half hour, I'm hoping that we can take some listener phone calls. That'll be at 212-209-2900, and we look forward to your remarks and comments and questions if we can answer them. Now, all of you, my feeling is that what we should do is zoom in on the current debate. When we last saw you, you were examining very carefully the bylaws that had been presented by Carol Spooner. There are two sets of national bylaws models. One is presented by Carol Spooner, the lab member from the IPNB, member from Berkeley, and another by Rob Robinson, who is at the Washington station. The two versions have been described by Carol, by Leslie and Ray on Friday as kind of, one is like a Federalist model, the Robinson Washington is sort of more nationally focused, with the brunt of power going to the National Pacifica Foundation, while the Spooner model is sort of more a confederacy of the five stations, giving more independence to the five stations. But each of these are being amended, I am sure, as we speak, because even online these amendments to the various models are being posted. So let's talk first about those two models. Anybody want to go first? Everybody's pointing at everybody. Andy?
Well, I've been pointed out by several people here. As far as I understand it, we're now supposed to be commenting on both of these draft bylaw proposals called A and B. A is the Robinson, Washington-based one, and the other is Spooner's from Berkeley. In fact, on Pacifica.org, they have a section where people can write in comments on particular aspects of these proposals. Without reading them out laboriously, as you say, they are quite different. You could say that one is more status quo, the Robinson one. I like to look at different aspects of these. There's the national board, there's the local board, and there's the listeners and members, which are three distinct entities. And each of these proposals defines these, assigns and designates their rights and responsibilities in different ways, and also gives different methods for selecting the local and national board. So I think what's probably of most interest to people here is the local advisory board or the local station board and how each of these differentiates between them, because if you have a strong local board, by definition you have a weak national board or a less centralized national board.
And is that weak in terms of fiduciary responsibility, in terms of programming, in terms of decisions that would affect the entire network? How does this devolve to the various stations? How would it affect us at BAI if we had a strong national management? And how
okay, this
strong
is,
local?
I'm Marcia Newfield. I'm also a member of Concerned Friends.
Mm-hmm.
I see the distinction, really, is the centralization, decentralization, and that part of the, in reading the, rereading Pacifica Radio by Matthew Lazar, I see from the history that the virus that attacked BAI or the whole Pacifica network was based on high centralization, mm-hmm. on the consolidation of power in the national board.
Right.
And that Carol Spooner's remedy, in other words, I haven't really studied the Robinson model that much, but I've been looking at the Carol Spooner's, the annotated version of her bylaws. This is called Working Draft, annotated version
this
of
is,
B.
This is by Max Blanchet of the KPFA.
Right, station. Right. But it was obviously based on discussion
mm-hmm.
By the election committee meeting in KPFA, at KPFA. And so that what it seems to me what this annotated version is doing is decentralizing to the point where each station has almost an entrepreneurial function,
mm-hmm.
that they are functioning as little businesses, as it were. The business is to keep that station going. And they have a lot of power, a lot of authority. It's not that the national isn't there or that the national isn't there to monitor or to help them if they're in trouble, but it's giving enormously more power. Now, one of my questions, and what the group that would be the lab, the board of direct, what would they be called here, that group that would be at the local level?
Station board?
Station board, rather than local advisory board, they would be station board.
Mm-hmm.
And one of my questions, given all the responsibilities that have been allocated to them in this model, is how are they going to do it and make a living? I mean, how are those people going to serve in that capacity? Because the tasks that they have are so great.
Yeah.
So that's. I wonder if anybody else has an opinion about that.
That's a pretty interesting question, because almost all of these models really demand enormous volunteer time. Mike, do you want to address that?
Yes. This is one of the questions we had when we were going through what are the requirements, what do we want from a station board, and somebody pointed out if you could get anybody to do this for free, you know, it's a miracle, because we're asking them to do a lot. But I think if you get the right people and the right process in place, in other words, meetings on a timely basis, follow-up, and working closely with management at the station, you won't have to do that much. It'll be, you know, as long as you're not micromanaging the station, which I think some people are trying to do. With governance, we talk to the general manager reports to the board, and we come up with things like, say, once a month or once every 3 months.
What would the budgetary responsibilities be for the local stations in the Spooner model versus the Robinson model? I mean, one of the things we're trying to protect here is that the same sort of thing doesn't happen again, that a group of hijackers would try to change the language of the bylaws so that, in fact, they could get some financial relief for themselves by selling off an asset or whatever. Who would protect all this?
Well, Carol Spooner's model goes back to the 1991 framework, which was local. Books were at the station, not national.
Mm-hmm.
Autonomous books. And you gave part of your money to the national so they could run their operation. But otherwise, all money was all local and raised locally. Carol Spooner goes back to that. Also, she says that the budget has to be approved by the station boards. They're part of the process.
Mm-hmm. In terms of the underlying political dissent here or differences, what are the politics of having, what is the fear about having localized power versus nationalized? Is there anybody who has an answer to that?
Well, I don't want to get into the politics quite yet, but if I could just talk about this work issue, you know, how burdensome would all of this be? It already is for people on the national board. And part of the rationale for devolving things or having more local autonomy is that there will be more involvement locally. We had a situation where the National Board didn't come to New York for 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
You had most of the members who had no idea about this station, which is the largest station, raises the most money. There was a complete disconnect on the national level between the local budgeting and the actual national governance. So it's felt that, well, the Spooner type model, I think it's felt that there'll be more involvement locally than there would be nationally.
Marcia, did you have something to add?
Well, I would like to read from the from Article 6, Committees of the Board, on this annotated B version. It says the local station boards are authorized to exercise any and all corporate powers of the Pacifica Foundation with regard to that radio station, particularly those regarding personnel management, allocation of resources, budgeting and financial management, contracting, management of foundation assets, planning and fundraising, and development programming, technical and technological development, and compliance with federal and other broadcast rules and regulation. And they have to ensure, their duties are to ensure compliance and regular communication, and it's a job. I mean, it meet every, at least generally set policy regarding the operations and management of the radio station, appoint, supervise, and remove, employ, and discharge the general station manager, and to approve the hiring of all other station management personnel. I mean, this is a big job. I mean, given the nature of the zillion meetings that I've gone to, I don't see people agreeing on what time it is, never mind all this other material. I mean, this is very deep. I mean, I'm not saying it's bad. I'm saying that it's a kind of level of what Ralph Nader the other day called civic confidence, which we're not that accustomed to yet.
Right? I think you have pointed out a problem with our movement. That is, we're activists, we're out in the field, we don't know what to do with peace. And peace is hard work. Peace is the grunt work, the bylaws, sitting down in a room. You don't fight, you cooperate. Okay, you learn to communicate rather than yell at each other. Okay, so the meetings we're having are not board meetings. I hope not. Okay, most of the boards I sat on, you get a good concentration of people. They come in, they do what they have to do. I've never worked for a salary for any board. So it's a matter of your commitment to, you want to get in the shortest possible time and get the most done. And you don't argue except offline, outside the organization. So everything we've been doing for the last 2 years, we have to go 180 degrees to another method of thinking. And that means that's why I'm asking for new people to come in, because we may not be the ones to talk about this because we're warriors.
Mm-hmm. Well, but except that, like, number 10 here says that ensure that local programming is instituted that addresses the concerns, needs, and interests of the diverse communities the station serves, especially those of marginalized and voiceless communities. Now, this is where you know, the constituency model, as it were, is that's trying to address this issue of getting more representation from constituencies out there. I mean, I just don't understand, and I applaud that. You know, I applaud that idea to get more. But then, what does that mean when they're there? Are they going to then tell the program director, well, that program is, you know, how are they going to decide on programming, on which program represents that marginalized community? We have programs that represent various, quote-unquote, marginalized communities. I mean, they're Native American, gay and lesbian, et cetera. But then what if this board says, no, that's not the right program, do this? I don't know how that's going to evolve.
Okay, two things Marsha brought up. One, she mentioned consistency model, which has nothing to do with the conversation right now.
Well,
because, wait, take it easy. If you look at the duties of the lab, everything that's stated in there is already part of the lab duties. And they're not consistency models, all right? These are people have, this is what came down before. They got to go out, do outreach, blah, blah, okay, fundraising, all kinds of duties for the current lab. And this has been around, how long, Andy? At least a year or two?
That one's been around for 3 years.
Three years.
Yeah, but wasn't the selection of the constituency, wasn't the selection of the lab, the people who were selected because they represented more than themselves. Andy, why were you selected to be on the lab?
I think they had no one from New Jersey at the time.
Okay, that's so a constituency. That's
now we have several.
So if you want to talk constituency, he has nothing to do that. He was picked because he's supposed to bring a certain point of view. Hopefully, no matter what model we pick, the people coming into that room will have a certain point of view and qualities, whether it's a constituency of an idea or a constituency of a geographic group or a racial whatever. Whether they're elected, selected, or appointed, the people coming in there, we have to define what they're going to do. And one of the things we have not done in many of the meetings, what are people going to do once they get there? No matter if they're appointed or selected by constituency or...
Right, and how are they going to relate to this management and staff and listeners in doing those things?
And I think that's the key point. That's why I'm here, is because I think Spooner went too far with micromanagement. In other words, there is a governance model out, which somebody put out a paper, which is you govern from afar. You hire the general manager. You tell the general manager, here's what we want from you. If you don't do it, we get rid of you, and we get somebody else. Otherwise, the general manager is responsible for that nucleus inside the station. That's one. That's the model I'm looking at. Two, the program is, we define the position between program director and the staff. I think right now the problem is the hierarchy, the way it goes, executive director, general manager, program director, leaves everybody out. It's very arbitrary. There's nothing there for either the staff, listeners, or anybody else to get in. It's a very hierarchical structure. We have to tear that down and break it apart, which is to bring in more counseling and institute a process of where people can call in and say, fill out this form, assessment form, in a folio, hopefully. We'll talk about that, hopefully.
Is that in any of the bylaws mention of any folio?
No, because everybody's worried about elections. They're not talking about governance.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the problem.
Mike, I think you're contradicting yourself a little bit there. You start off saying that the Spooner one is micromanaging, and then you are asking to put in all these micromanagement details.
No, I'm not expressing myself properly. I said general manager is the one the governance, the board has direct responsibility to. Internally, you should have a structure where the staff, according to Lou Hill, is cooperative. Okay?
Right.
So you have the general manager running the station. That's the authority, our authority. We pass, you're our authority, you're our everyday representative. What I'm asking for beyond that is, in quotes, a programming council which elects the program director. Okay?
So you are saying that the general manager is out in your model. The general manager does not select the program director with the cooperation of the staff, but has a greater input into who gets to be program director.
No, I'm saying the reverse. I'm saying
the staff, not listeners.
Okay. No listeners involved in this yet. The staff should pick their program director. Like a project manager as opposed to a hierarchical position.
Uh-huh.
Somebody who knows how to run and work with all the product people on hosting the programs rather than I am the king model, which is right what you have right now, who reports to the general manager. I don't want that. I want to go. The general manager says, okay, listen, I will manage the station and the processes. So if you pick somebody who's going out and doing the wrong thing, I will step in and advise and if I have to, I will remove.
Are these issues that are these the burning issues that are of the current debate, or are the issue that seemed to be burning most at last Tuesday's meeting was the issue of actually who is a voting member here? And that alone, as simple as it may seem, evoked a tremendous amount of controversy. Was the voting member a listener, a staff member, listener and or staff member, or was it people from various constituencies who could not pay, who were perhaps could not volunteer? Can you want to talk a little bit about that, Marcia?
Okay, so you see there are two issues here, two strands of need of reform, as it were. One is the reform of the functions of the lab, what we now know as the local advisory board, which would be, in this model, changed to a station board, right? And that station board would, according to the Spooner model, have this kind of board of director kind of function.
More teeth.
Yes, a lot of teeth, like, you know, you're going to get in trouble if you don't get it right. Now, what Mike is suggesting is that board should not come in and really do the job. They should really function from a distance and appoint the general manager as you would in a business, and then periodically the general manager. Now, that's a little higher, but he's saying that in order to avoid the general manager being the king, the top of the heap and making all the decisions, just replacing one king with another, he's saying that they should institute some other structures, like a policy advisory board, from composed of listeners, staff, and whomever else, to consult and advise and give feedback and work out feedback mechanisms to this general director.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one kind of model, as it were, of how to democratize the functioning without making the station board, the formal lab, be too involved.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now, that's one problem. The other problem is, well, how are you going to elect these people to begin with? And that's where a lot of the difficulties have come in. Who's eligible to vote? And there's one group of people who feel, well, subscribers, the people who've paid money all these years, the people who've knocked themselves out. Then another group says that most of the people who've paid money haven't knocked themselves out, besides which they are not representative enough of the listening community. And so this other group says we've got to make stupendous efforts to get more of the listening community into, you know, the mode of thinking they have a voice here, they can vote, right? So then there are various ways of how you're going to get them to vote, either, you know, bring them in for, have a big subscription drive to bring them in to vote, or just go out there on the street and hand them ballots, or have them work from within their quote-unquote identity politics, you know, the disabled group would meet and choose a representative or put a representative on the roster.
So, and each of these groups or constituencies would have a place on the station board.
Right. Now, and so there's an argument about should those people alone elect their representative, or should they have candidates that then everybody votes for? You know, like, so that it's a long, you know, it's very complicated. And I don't know. Aren't we supposed to have this thing done by when? When is all this supposed to happen?
Yeah, it should have sort of been done by now. We're sort of at the 11th hour. In fact, all of these decisions could be happening within a month at the next national board meeting in Houston.
In other words, this is all supposed to be settled in time for that.
September 26th or 26th is the meeting in Houston.
End of September sometime.
And they're supposed to decide on what is the structure, how elections will take place, and then elections are supposed to take place in when? December? By the end of the year?
Well, that was the original timetable. There's different speculation about what will happen. For example, they might decide on the powers of the boards, or they might decide on some of these aspects and then work out the election details later, or vice versa. They might decide we'll do the elections according to the following formula, but we're not quite sure what the station board that you're electing is going to do. So it's not clear what's going to happen in September, but really in the next month I think there'll be a lot of discussion, and there should be a lot of discussion, especially from listeners. But if I could get back to just one thing.
Yeah.
Actually, a listener raised this a few weeks ago. Someone pointed out, why are we doing this in the first place? Why do we need to revise all these bylaws? You know, why not just patch it? Well, the problem is, if you look at what happened in the last couple of years, there's a systemic flaw in the whole bylaw structure at the national, the local, and there's been a lot of discussion about, well, basically it grew out of a set of governing bylaws for a single station, KPFA, 53 years ago. So we need to overhaul the whole thing now. And the newest, the novel aspect of all this is the involvement of listeners, or the election of the station board. That had never happened before, and that is mandated. So, you know, there had always been back and forth about the role of the national board, centralization versus decentralization, the role of the station board. But this aspect of elections is really what has most people interested, I think, and listeners should be particularly interested, because the mandate from the judge for this arose from a lawsuit which was instigated by listeners, and I think it should be, well, I think it's very important to realize that it didn't come from national board members, it didn't come from station board members, it didn't come from the staff, it came from listeners, and they started this, and they will finish it, I imagine.
I just want to tell you that this is the hard work slot with Mike Fader. Mike Fader will be back on September 1st. I'm Janet Coleman. I'm here with David Dozer, and we're conducting a program, a discussion of the bylaws, the Pacifica National bylaws. The local group here from WBAI consists of Mike Beasley, who was a vigiler and a member of which of the various...
You name it, I've been a part
listener
of it.
Groups. Mike has been there. And
Concerned friends
and standing right on the street for night after night. And Andy Norris, who is on the listener, the local advisory board here at the BAI. And Marcia Newfield, a member of the Concerned Friends, also a member of the GM Search Committee. And all of them very active and persistent and diligent in trying to get these bylaws to be coherent and to have input from our station. Let me ask you, how is WBAI, in terms of its organization and coherence in answering back the board, how do we fit in among the other five stations?
We're one-fifth of the vote.
Right. And three-fifths of the vote is what carries the vote, right?
Right.
So three stations have to agree.
Three stations have to agree out of the five.
And where are we at?
And nobody really knows. Okay, I think they're having a conference call sometime this weekend to try to bring this action together. The process so far, which I'm disturbed about, is we don't know where the other labs stand. We know where KPFA stands. Mm-hmm. Okay, Carol Spooner, we know where somebody from Washington, not the lab.
This is just an individual, Rob Robinson's mom?
It's not coming out of... I haven't seen no votes or papers that said the lab voted on it.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm confused about that. So we don't know where we're at. Matter of fact, I wanted to apologize to everybody. This is brand new. We are all new at this. In the 40, 50 years of Pacifica, this has never been done before.
That's right.
This is all new. So everybody here sitting here, when they say something sounds like a fact, it's all brand new. For instance, Andy said that the listeners are the ones that push for elections. That is not true. Most listeners don't even know about elections. They didn't know about it until they got a ballot in the mail twice. And each time... The voting back went down because people were never asked, do you want to vote?
What ballot is this that you're talking about?
KPFA had two elections.
Uh-huh. Talk about that, because the KPFA model is the one that the judge has advised all the stations
that's another thing.
To follow.
It's not the judge.
Uh-huh.
The agreement was made between the defendants and the plaintiffs. Where elections came in, that was by the so-called majority. Okay, the people said, hey, put an election 6 months. They knew it would mess everything up. It was not from our side.
Mm-hmm.
It was from their side.
Mike, I think you're confusing everybody.
Oh.
Who's they?
Okay, they were the former board majority, Mary Frances Berry, okay, and the so-called board majority who were trying to take the station and rip it apart. I'm not sure what the Koopsters, okay, put it that way.
Hijackers, they've been
hijackers,
called various shorthand names.
But they put that in about all elections within 6 months. If it wasn't for somebody standing up and saying, stop, no, mm-hmm. 6 months is too short, we can't do it.
Mm-hmm.
A year, that was like a split-second decision. It was not thought out.
Mm-hmm.
It was not something that was part of the papers we asked for.
Was that hoping that it would be too short a time would run out and you would have failed in the task? And even 1 year is very short.
Would be the penalty of failing in the task?
They would have control of whatever boards were put in place, three of the five at least.
Mm-hmm.
because they control the boards. Up until, okay, they had the general managers in three of the stations, about four if you count BAI. They had four stations in their pocket. They had the listenership in their pocket.
Right, but hasn't all that been disassembled, as it were, the boards? I mean, isn't everything in all of the stations kind of in creative chaos?
Yes, in creative chaos. It has not been settled.
I like that term, creative chaos.
I just want to say one thing before we open for calls, that part of the movement, as it were, the movement to strengthen Pacifica post-coup, is to get more active participation of listeners. In other words, part of the gag rule where people couldn't talk about Pacifica business on the air was in effect to dumb down people. It was in effect, you don't know about what's going on, you're not supposed to know, we'll take care of it. It was a paternalistic model. It was a colonialist model to have just the people on the top, whatever the top was, to know the information and everybody else not know. And so part of the democratization is to have everybody know. Mm. You know what? I mean, maybe people don't want to know, but that's part of the problem in America, in the world. And I just want to read something from this Disabled in Action activist newsletter that came across in my paper piles. And it says, this was about the objective of activism is to take on something of interest to you and to work on it. The only way to make sure you stick with it for the long haul, since changes do not come about, quickly. I assure you that the reward is a great feeling about yourself and about the disability rights movement in this case. When you are part of the change process, your role transforms from that of observer to participant. Only then can you feel a connection to other members and to the overall philosophy guiding the work being done. And I think that that is a sort of cry for us as listeners and staff and everybody to change our mode a bit and to become more activist, whether that means voting in election, whether that means doing something in your community, et cetera, et cetera. So, and I think we should, before we open to calls, we should reiterate what the mission of Pacifica is, because everybody knows. What do you think, Andy?
It's going to be a what do you think.
Well, in fact, I was thinking that on the way in, should I bring a copy of the mission statement? And I'm sure, well, we have it right in front of us. But my understanding of the mission is first and foremost to foster understanding between peoples, and BAI and the other stations, whatever way they can, should be doing that. But central to the role is the idea of pacifism and fostering understanding towards that purpose. And then there are different vehicles for doing that by the spoken word, art, etc. That's what the mission statement says to me.
Anyone else want to take a crack at it? Mike?
I think if you look at the mission statement and you look at the history of BAI, from day one there was a conflict. If you read Active Radio by Jeff Land, if you read Pacifica Radio by Matthew Lazar and a couple others, you'll find the mission was a good starting point, but it was very hard to maintain. It didn't last very long. But one of the guiding principles is that we have to bring people together in an environment where they can have their point of view expressed without threats or intimidation.
That is to use the airwaves in this fashion.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. That's why we get to, hopefully, not just today maybe, but we get down the line, why is keeping the programmers and the people of free speech safe is more of a greater concern than having listeners participate. I want to disagree with something. I have been out in the street many places in New York City, and I have not seen listeners coming saying they want to vote or get involved in the internal politics. And these are people who have been listening for 30, 40 years. When I was on the line with the vigilists, they didn't want to get involved. They wanted this programming back. They wanted to know, how do we protect it? We don't want to get involved in it. Two, I don't think, based upon the proposals that are out there, whether it's consistency model and or the subscriber model, that people will vote for that, because I think they'd rather have a direct vote, which is put me down as a member, sign me up, however, and then when it comes to try to sell an asset, you got to ask me first.
Mm-hmm.
A ratification or a referendum point of view rather than a direct vote. And so I think we have to talk about, let's ask the listeners, what do they want?
Well, I disagree, because I think that this is why only 42% of Americans vote in anything, and then they complain and they get ripped off. So I don't feel like handing someone a pack of cigarettes. In other words, I'm not asking, I don't want to be part of supporting something that's in place that's already self-destructive in terms of this notion of civic confidence. So I think that if you care about whatever it is, you care about your plot of grass, you care about your water, then you've got it. You can't just give it to somebody else who may be making billions off it to say, take care of it. Now, you've got to make sure that your water is okay. You've got to, and if it means going to a meeting instead of a movie, you've got to do that. If it means, getting, whatever it is, and I'm not, and some people don't, I don't ever go to the movies, because I don't have money to go to the movies, but that's not the point.
You're supposed to be listening to the radio.
Okay, so I think we should get calls now, don't you?
Yes, I think so. We're at 212-209-2900. I'm here with Mike Beasley, Andy Norris, and Marcia Newfield, and let's hear from you. WBAI, you're on the air. You're on the air. Hello?
Hi. This is Sandra Aronson. I'm a Homebound listener and a Homebound member of Disabled in Action. And that's why I'm listening to VAI all the time. And a member, many of us are poor. I am not at meetings because I can't get there. I am not interested in micromanaging, yet I am a homebound activist about disability and an artist. And my only suggestion, although it's going to be a generalization, and one of the problems with what I'm hearing is generalizing about listeners, I think it's not a good idea. I don't want to be totally involved in the bylaws. I'm wondering if there are people, it's so new, is there any experience of it working in any context of nonprofit? Leave that question out there. And my other, is there a way to keep it simple so as we learn, we can make it better? And my one fear, like everybody else's, is another hijacking. And I'm particularly concerned that the most progressives, and not all disabled people are progressive. We cross every kind. So there's, we're everything in every ethnic, color, political, you name it. More of us are progressive. A few of us are rich, but darn, there goes my brain.
Do you want to have someone answer you to so far?
Oh, thanks a lot.
Okay. Andy?
I'll just answer the first part of your question or comment. You said you didn't feel you had the time to be involved, but you have been involved already. I heard you call in on a previous program, and basically you gave very important information about how people who cannot contribute directly money, can't get to the station, et cetera, can be members. And that's the kind of input we're looking for. And that's what we want to include.
Sandra had a sign on her wheelchair that
still is.
Support BAI. Right.
It just doesn't get out much.
Well, it's been mentioned several times in several of the models as an example of how someone who was disabled or unable to come into the station to volunteer could be counted as a volunteer. Marshall?
I don't want input in... I agree with many of the things said, and I'll let other people get on, but I am concerned with the three stations in areas that are not as progressive, with the kind of progressive histories of BAI and KPFA, so where some of the, quote, bad guys I know have been in Houston. They may have lingering minions out there ready to try and take over. And I am not a 35-year listener, only since I became homebound, around-the-clock listener, depending on my sleep schedule, which is since about 1990. So everybody's got some really good points, but I think the main thing is to have in safeguards. And one of the things they learned with finance reform is every time you put campaign finance reform, you put in something, the bad guys look for a way to hijack. So I guess we can just put in the most safeguards we can, and I'll let other people get on.
Thanks. Marcia, do you want to talk to that?
Well, just the question that have bylaws, you know, how do they work in other organizations? I think bylaws are one of the ways in which they're sort of they are the safeguard. That because, for example, if our bylaws, because the old national board, they tried to shift the bylaws, and that's how they got the power, and that's how they got to appoint their people. So the bylaws are the safeguard. Even in the corporate structure, the equivalent of bylaws allows shareholders to have their voice heard, and we've heard of a lot of shareholder activist operations where the shareholders come in and say to a given corporation, hey, we're not going to let you do that. And the whole divestment idea started with grassroots. So that bylaws are a way of ensuring grassroots control and grassroots input.
Shall we take another call? Oop, you're on the air. Hello?
Hello.
Hi.
Am I on the air?
Yes.
Well, I have written something down here which I would like to read. Is it possible by any model to arrive at a governance that will be accepted by all sides? Will it be possible to arrive at a consensus in which we can move forward without acrimony? It seems to me that the more input we have, the more indecisiveness we find ourselves in. Don't we have to face up to the reality that no matter how democratic the process of decision-making is, there will be malcontents who will break away and form splinter groups? So it's such a situation of we don't know really how to go about this. And I think that we use the term democracy as if the more democracy we have, the better, when actually what we probably need is less democracy and some willingness on the part of listeners to give up some of their prerogatives and allow someone to make decisions. I mean, that's what the problem we had in the first place was. We didn't want to allow the central board to make a decision with regard to our station. And so unless we can... It seems to me grow up to some extent. If the listeners of BAI have got to grow up and be willing to allow things that they don't entirely approve of happen on the station. I mean, certainly I don't like a tremendous amount of the programming that's on now, but I still support the station because there are certain programs that I like. And I think that our listeners have got to realize that they can't have it all their own way. So if we could only have a campaign to get that thought across, I think we could get over this terrible situation that we've been faced with for now, for it seems to me, about 3 years. So I guess that's enough of a speech on my part.
But this might be a good time to promote the bylaws meeting next Tuesday, right? What day is it? What time is it? Where is it? Is it at 75 Varick Street at 6:30 on the 14th floor?
Right.
And you can come in and you can give up some of your prerogatives.
All right. At 75 Varick at 6:30 on Tuesday.
On Tuesday night. Right?
All right. Thank you.
14th floor.
Okay.
All right.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
WBAI, you're on the air.
Oh, hi. Listen, I've been trying at a couple of meetings and also on the air with Ray LaForest a few weeks ago. Could you please, by the end of the show, find out who the current 16 lab members are and if there is any possibility, how long they've been serving, and, you know, which ones are producers? I find it infuriating that we're running out of time, and I myself, and I'm sure a lot of other listeners, would like to know who, because that's a huge number, 16. I've been going to some of your meetings. It's great. But, you know, of course there's only around 8 people on the lab at each meeting. And, you know, no handout. I would just like to know who these people are. I was there when, I think her name is Rashida, was voted in on the brink of the lawsuit settlement and all. And could you just please, by the end of the show, and commit something to writing who the current members of the lab are, and how long they've been on.
Okay.
Because that's part of, like, nepotism, that certain people have become insiders. Thanks a lot.
Okay. I don't have any of my brothers or sisters on the lab, but you can get all the information that you want, who's on the lab, when they joined the lab, who are producers, at www.wbailab.org.
Is that the only way they can
Well,
get
you
it?
Can ask the secretary of the lab, Andy, who's just spoke,
yes.
to bring copies to the next lab meeting.
I will bring a list of the membership, but it's on the website.
Can you rattle any off?
WBAILab.org. You can also, that's the official website of the local advisory board, and I'm trying to update it with more information, but it does have the membership, and we're putting links to minutes. We have links to other things.
Andy will bring copies of the lab membership from the lab site, printed copies, to the next lab meeting, because he's the official secretary of the lab.
And when is the next lab meeting?
Yes, when is it?
That's different from the bylaws, man.
Right, yes.
Well, as far as I know, the next lab meeting will be the first Tuesday in September. That's our schedule. But there is some discussion about having one before then, so stay tuned closely. I wish I could tell you more. But I will bring copies of the membership list.
Okay, is that enough for you there? Or he wanted it sooner, but maybe you can rattle them off if you think of them. WBAI, you're on the air. Hello?
Hello.
Yeah.
Yes, I'm calling from the South Bronx,
mm-hmm.
and I'm a woman of color. I'm a Latino woman,
mm-hmm.
and I'd like to share a little bit with you and tell you that I listen to your station often. I share the information with the youth, neighbors, people from the South Bronx, senior citizens, and so on. My question is, what is wrong with learning and teaching others? Let us walk the road with you. We have always been left out. We as Latino people have always been left out. I'm a person of color, and so is my family, my friends, and others. It's time that you share with us. Stop making decisions for us, because we listen to your program. We take very serious the information that you give us. But we're people that have contributed quite a bit. And so in contributing as much as we have, we would also like to learn. We also have a lot to share, okay, because we are intelligent people. We are people that can sit at a table and maybe give you ideas. We're the ones with the problems, okay? Thank you.
Wait.
I'll listen.
I'd like to ask you how...
Oh, she left.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think this is why we're asking people to come into the meeting so we can get ideas. You told us what you have to offer, but I'm left cold. I don't know where do I get it? How do I do it? What's the process?
Right.
We need your input to come in. Bring a couple other people with you. Okay, neighbors, friends, people down the block. Come to a meeting and express this and tell us how we can work. We want to learn, so we don't know. Our outreach effort is not very well.
Right.
I'll try to put it nicely. So if you come to meetings or you bring people from your group, we can talk about this as an issue of how to do it.
For now, that seems to be the mode that's working most. After, as we get rolling, everybody can have their own groups in their own neighborhoods and online and elsewhere. But that seems to be it for now, these meetings. WBAI, you're on the air. Hello?
Hi. My name is Steve. I've been at some of the Bible's meetings. And towards the beginning of the program, it was mentioned that on the Spooner model, the station board members would have so much to do that they couldn't earn a living. And I want to point out that the national board, according to the Spooner model, is comprised of the station board members. So the station board members would not only have to run the station, they would also have to run the national board, which makes the workload even heavier. And I have one short question to that. Has the constituency model ever been presented in a bylaws format the way the Spooner model has and the, I think, the Robinson model? Because I've heard comments occasionally about fears that the constituency model is likely to be dismissed. And it can't be dismissed unless it's presented in a form that's analyzable as much as the other two models that have been presented. That's it.
Thank you. I think he had his radio on.
Steve, the model has not been presented that I know of formally in a proposal at any of the meetings, but a lot of the proposals we had at meetings did not come out in Spooner or Robinson's model. And if you go back to the minutes of the site, you'll see we had a lot of suggestions about governance, about positions, about numbers, about structure that don't show up in these two models. So we got two-level problems. One is what we put out didn't show up. Two, I have not seen a consistency model as except in the minutes of meetings, but not as a formal proposal. And we're working on that.
And I have something to, another part of the question was that would the station board people have to also be on the national board? What it says here is that each local station board would elect three local station board members to be on the national board. So only three people would have to do double shifts.
And what would the total number be? This is the Spooner model. How many would there be on the board? How many members?
Well, altogether, 90. But that's because, but not 90 at a meeting. It would be that all of these station board people would be considered directors. So, and this is a sort of a legal reason.
It's a committee.
So that it would, I don't know, understand. I didn't quite.
I think the idea is if you're going to give the local station board some powers, fiscal or whatever, they have to have the authority of directors who are holders of the license.
So that they have to be part of the national...
Right. Right.
So they would be viewed as committees or subcommittees. But still, there would be sort of what they call a national committee, which would have 15 or
right.
a reasonable number of people.
Right, so it would still be,
people.
Yeah.
But one clarification, the Spooner and the Robinson models are only two models out of whatever...
Right.
They are not the defining. That's why I hesitate to read anything from them because they are just ideas. They are not in standard. We have our own ideas at the committee meetings and our own notes, the WBAI point of view or the Newark area point of view, which is in conflict with a lot of what's in the Spooner model. So I think I'm not talking about Spooner or Robinson. I'm talking about WBAI and the community here and what we want as far as bylaws rather than what other people say we have
but
to
But we're
have.
Not sure what we want yet. I
well,
mean,
that's what we're
what
working
the meetings
on.
Are. Right. And what we've been doing at the last meeting, the reason it was a sort of a plateau of camaraderie was because we're going through each of the bylaws, each of the old bylaws or each of the suggested bylaws, and we're having a discussion so that people, it starts to get demystified of what is this bylaw about, you know, and that's what has to happen. That's why somebody said it was like being at a constitutional, Mike said it was a constitutional convention atmosphere.
Andy, did you want
to? Well, I just want to point out we've had almost 20 meetings, maybe 20, and I agree with everyone that the all the effort and the work that we've done has not really been assimilated into either of these proposals properly. And that's one of my goals in the next month is to communicate the work of this committee, you know, thousands of man hours, women hours too, to the powers that be.
Which in this case is the interim national board, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And right.
Okay, let's take another call. We're filled up here. You're on the air. Hello?
Hello?
Yes.
Is this WBAI?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
We're talking bylaws.
Yes, I know. This is Marion from Manhattan.
Mm-hmm.
And
do you have the name, a list of the lab members?
The list of lab members are out there, and we've had a list of lab members. And Andy is going to, as he suggested, he will do, is update these lab members.
And we're talking to one right now. This
right.
is Marion Bornstein of
yes.
the lab. Yes, Marion.
Co-chair of the lab.
Co-chair of the lab.
Okay, thank you very much. I just want to say that the Carol Spooner and all these models, the A and the B model, particularly Carol Spooner, I've been in this thing for a long time, and it was out there a long time when this produced, when this Carol Spooner model was produced. Andy's familiar with it. I'm familiar with it, and I think Mike is familiar with it. I'm not sure about the rest of the members who are speaking today, but we have been familiar with this this model. WBAI, I'm not sure what's happening in the other listening areas, if they have been struggling with developing procedures and bylaws if they have meetings the way we have had meetings. But here in New York City, we have been struggling with these bylaws for a long time and election procedures. And I can go into it, but I'm not. But what we have to do in New York City, we have produced our own kind of model. And that is, it's coming out of New York City, the constituency model, whether you like it or not. But it is a model that has come out of the New York City area. I'm not sure what Washington has done. I'm not sure. I know what's come out of KPFA, the Berkeley model. I'm not sure what's come out of Los Angeles. I'm not sure what has come out of Texas. Okay? But I know that here in New York City, we have been struggling around our own model. We've been dealing with the Carol Spooner's model. We have been dealing with Rob Robinson's model. And now we got another model, a constituency model, which has to be nailed down and more structure has to be put around it. But this is three models that I know of that's out there. Now, what is happening in these other station areas, I don't know.
Marion, we are really running short of time.
And that's all I wanted to say.
Okay.
And I just want that to be understood.
Okay. Now, okay. We have so many people on the line, but I feel that she's opened a door to a whole new topic here. Is the constituency model one equal with the other models?
Well, let me just say that this constituency model is really looking at a small part of it, a very important part, which is the elections and the definition of the membership,
right.
Which, as I said before, is novel and very, very important.
Mike, Marsha and Mike are pointing.
My understanding is it's not about the governance. Up to now, it's not a governance model. It's an elections model. Or it's a subscriber, member, whatever. It's how to get people, you know, on these boards, whether it's station board, national board, et cetera, et cetera.
The problem is it is both. It is governance. In other words, once people get there, who do they represent and how are they represented and accountability? And two, how do you get the people involved? Like the person that called before, there's a Latina community, Latina. How do you get her point of view expressed? How is that? Two representatives, one, what position, and how do you get them there? Is it by everybody here voting for her or just the Latina community?
That's the elections.
Now, I'm just saying, but there's elections, and the reason you're electing people is to put them on a board to govern. And they're both connected, and we've been diverted away from the governance issue, but about fighting over the method of getting there.
We're unfortunately out of time. An hour goes really fast. I want to thank Mike Beasley, Andy Norris, and Marsha Newfield for joining us here and for putting in so many man and woman hours of work on the bylaws. There will be another show on Monday night at 8 o'clock concerning these, and I think that may likely focus on the constituency model. And thank you all for coming on the air and being interested in all this. See you on Cat Radio Cafe tomorrow and next week at this time in the Mike Fader slot. This is the hard work slot. And go to MikeFader.com to check up on Mike. Thank you, David Dozer, for engineering this hour. And see you next time.
I'm Cassie McDonough.
Hi, I'm Elizabeth McDonough.
And our dad is John McDonough.
You can hear his show, Radio Free Erin, on Saturday afternoon
from 1:30 to 3.
On this commercial-free,
listener-sponsored
community radio,
WBAI
99.5 FM in New York.
Equal time for free thought, Sundays, 6:30 to 7 p.m. on WBAI 99.5 FM. News, views, issues, and culture from the free-thinking perspective. Atheists, agnostics, humanists, skeptics, and others.
As the corporate media and mainstream politics are sliding down the slope of born-again public piety, tune in to Equal Time for Free Thought, Sundays at 6:30 p.m. on WBAI for a refreshing alternative. with reason, science, and secular ethics, but without religion or other supernatural beliefs.
Free your mind. Focus on human needs and interests in the here and now. There is nothing else.